about, can you hear me okay? It's about 11:45, so let's get started. Okay. So my name is Derek Isoka. I'm a program manager on the AppV team. Does that sound good? Okay, perfect. Fantastic. So I'm a program manager on the AppV team, and I've been with the team for around 4 years this coming June. Most of the time I've spent on the team has been with the Server FE product. We do have a product that's been out in the market for a longer time than the Server FE product, which is Application Virtualization for Desktops. And this session is not to cover that. This session is to cover Application Virtualization for Server applications. So in case you're looking for that session, we do have an afternoon session today that my colleague Asim Kohli, who's sitting up front, will be covering an overview. And we'll also have other sessions covering different features for that specific product. Okay. Session overview today, what I really do want to cover is for you to leave today really understanding what Server FE is and some of the key scenarios that you could use Server FE for in your organizations. We'll do a really good walkthrough of what application packaging is. Most of you, I'm sure, really understand the benefits of System Center 2012, and specifically Virtual Machine Manager, and all the benefits that can give you. Server FE is a part of Virtual Machine Manager 2012. So what I really want to make sure that you leave and have a good concept about is that specific feature in VMM 2012 around application deployment and application packaging, you know, how can you actually get there? The next thing is configuration. So through the packaging process, we go through this phase where we actually create application configuration for your virtual application. And we'll do a really good walkthrough and overview of what that looks like and actually some of the efficiencies that it provides. And then to finish off, we'll do a deployment of virtual applications. So the application we'll package, we'll deploy that using PowerShell, show how simple that is, and also deploy that using VMM 2012 to give you a really good idea of how Server FE fits into service templates in System Center VMM 2012. Okay. So at the end of the session, you should be able to have a really good way to communicate what Server FE is, the scenarios that it works in, and what it actually targets. And also a really good idea of some of the workloads that Server FE is a good candidate for. You should also have a really good grasp of what the packaging process looks like and how deployment configuration for your virtual application works. And finally, you'll also have a good overview or a good idea of how Server FE fits into VMM's service deployment model. So let's start with an introduction. The goal of Server FE really is to make sure that you have a very easy way to deploy and manage your applications. And also, most importantly, is not just to make it easy, but to make sure that you don't have to do any other processes around rewriting your application for it to be deployed as a virtual application. Okay? The key things about this is to make it also very predictable, such that the packaging is predictable, and once you have your configuration, the deployment is easy and also very deterministic. So what is Server FE? As I mentioned before, it enables virtualization of a target set of server apps. So mostly anything that's deployed in the Windows Server OS, we're a good candidate for that. We ship two components. One is a packaging tool that we call the Server FE Sequencer. And this really allows you to create virtual packages for your MSI-based type applications. And then we also have a Server FE agent, and that essentially is an agent that you deploy on a target VM, and it manages your virtual application and your virtual application state and configuration. As I mentioned before, we ship as a component of System Center Virtual Machine Manager 2012. So if you do have access to, if you do have a System Center 2012 license, you have access to Server FE. And eventually, and finally, we also facilitate app deployment through service templates that are part of VMM 2012. So I love this slide because we did do a set of customer visits, and we walk into a customer and we usually ask them, you know, what are some of the challenges that you see around application deployment? And the most common answer that we get across the board is that, you know, we have different environments that we deploy our applications to. It takes us months and sometimes years. And the problem is it's never deterministic. When I install my application in my test environment and I go to my production environment, and even if different people are doing it and we have it all scripted, it's just never the same. And a really good example of this is a manufacturing company we visited, and they said, hey, we have 15 factories, and in each factory we have 3 environments. So that's 45 environments that they actually deploy the applications to. And they said, you know what, once we snap to an OS, let's say in January of 2009, we just cannot make any changes to our applications for around 2 years. It takes us so much time to test and so much time to deploy. Okay? So there's a, you know, there's some efficiencies that we provide around that. Second thing is, you know, we walk into the same customer we walked in and we asked them, hey, could you show us your install guide for your application X? And they literally came in with a folder this big and they said, well, this is it. And it's put together by 4 or 5 different teams. And the person who actually installs it, all he does is, you know, run scripts from different people, and he really doesn't know what he does, how he does it. He says, you know, I just follow the instructions in this install guide. And that's actually quite common for a lot of server apps because they have so many components. The last thing is an efficiency that we also provide, because most people say, well, I deployed my app on, you know, 2008 or 2003, but we just can't move from 2003 to 2008 or 2008 R2 as fast as we'd like to. And so this is another efficiency that ServerFE tries to really make sure we can highlight. So what are the key scenarios? So this really is a slide. I've gone through these points before, but this is a really good follow-up slide in case you'd like, you know, some really good bullet points to talk about what ServerFE does. First thing is Xcopy app deployment. As you can see, what we try and do is make it easy, reliable, and repeatable. You have an immutable application image. The only thing that changes as you move that application from different environments is your configuration. That simple. So deterministic configuration, I just mentioned about that. The only thing you change when you deploy an application is your configuration. Your bits, they never change. The only thing you change, let's say, is the context under which a service runs under, or the credentials which, let's say, an IIS app pool runs. Application servicing, same thing. You really don't need to run any other MSIs. You just package you update your initial application package, and you deploy it in the same fashion. So it's all the deterministic in the same way. OS servicing, so application portability. How do I move my application from one environment to another environment? Could be the same operating system, or it could be an upgrade from one operating system to another operating system. Okay? So how does ServerFE work? Essentially, three major things. One is packaging. Through the packaging process, we take an application that has multiple components, put it together into one immutable image. And during that process, what we also do is detect all the separate configuration items that this application has and create a configuration file for you that during deployment, you can use that to modify. So here we go. So during deployment, copy your application. Essentially, it's an X copy. Take your application, drop it onto a server, start it, and you're up and running. And during runtime, our agent monitors everything that application does. So if something happens in the virtual environment, you change a setting, some new files get added, something gets changed, we monitor all that, and we call it state separation, such that anything that happens is separate from your immutable application image, which really allows you to take all the state changes that happen during runtime, take those state changes, and you can easily move them to a new app, to a new Windows OS. Okay. So we'll walk into our first demo, which is package creation. But before I go there, we'll talk about how it actually works. So think of a server app which has multiple components. Some of these components could be Windows services, could be changes to IIS. It could have COM Plus, all these things that server apps have today. So what we do is we monitor all those changes. Once you, say, click install, you go through our packaging workflow tool, you say, I'm ready to install, and you start running through your install process. We monitor all the changes that your application makes to the registry, to the file system, anything that it adds essentially to a Windows server. And once you're done with that, we have an immutable application image. We say, here are your binaries, and here's your configuration. Okay? And the beauty of this is, even during the packaging process, and through the demo I'll show you this, is even if we miss capturing something that we automatically know as a configuration item, we do provide you a facility to actually search. So if anything's in the registry, if anything's stored in a configuration file that's XML or INI, essentially provide us a string and we'll parse and search all those documents and surface those as configuration items that you can use, if you care about them, to change during deployment. Okay. So now I'll switch over to the demo machine. All right, so the application that we'll package today has multiple components. Has Apache, MySQL, and also PHP. Apache and MySQL will run MSIs to actually install those, and PHP will just be copying over files into the file system so that we can capture those. You know, of course, I've done this multiple times before the demo, but what I really wanted to show you here is I put together all the steps that if I was to hand this over to you, you'd essentially would have to go through. So think of an IT admin who has to get an application installed. Hey, here are the set of steps that you have to go through to install this application. As you can see, there are multiple steps. They involve running an installer, naming it something, changing the port, changing the path which it runs under, and also going in and setting some credentials or what different instances would run under. So just to show you, if I go to the control panel, what I've actually installed on this machine is only the ServerFE sequencer. So that's our packaging tool. And what I'll do is I'll launch it. And if anyone in the room, if you've seen the APV46 sequencer, this is essentially the same tool. The only thing we've added are an extended set of virtualization subsystems that we track specific to server applications. Okay? So it brings you to this page, and you have two options. What we'll do today is we'll create a new virtual application package. What it actually notices here is that there's some applications that are running. So what we try and do is make sure that the package you create really just has the binaries specific to the application that you have. And so what the sequencer notices here is that I have some other applications that are running. And in this case, it's the control panel, so I can actually close this. I can actually close WordPad. It'll say don't save. And if I refresh this, it'll tell me that I'm ready to go. Okay? So I'll hit next. We'll do a custom installation. I'll say next. I'll name my package, and that's the name blog phpbb. I'll say next. And now what the sequencer does is it loads, it starts saying, you know, what are the things that can actually monitor based on the state of this machine? And this is good to note because, for example, if I was virtualizing an application that uses IIS, if I had IIS, turned on, the sequencer automatically knows I see IIS turned on, so this way I can know that I can actually now monitor any changes to IIS. Okay? So now at this stage, what's happening is I'm going through what we call the monitoring phase. At this stage, our packaging tool knows I can now start monitoring any changes that happen to this Windows server. Okay? There's a quick reminder here. It tells me where to install my packages. So I have a script to run this, so I'm going to run this as administrator. Okay. So this will kick off this, and we'll just install Apache. Go next. I'll do custom. Just to make sure that everything goes into this specific location, the Q drive, we do mount a virtual drive that we use to monitor all the state changes that happen to this server during the monitoring phase. So I'll say next, same style. Okay, so we're done installing Apache. It'll kick off PHP. I'll do the same thing. I'll also confirm it's going to my package root. That's a term we use for that. Let's say next. Let's go finish. Give it a second. Now I just copied over the PHP files. Now we're going to install MySQL. I'll say next. I'll say custom. I'll make sure once again it's going to that package root, which it is. I'll say next, and now we'll install MySQL. All right. And I really don't need to configure MySQL, and I'll say finish. Okay, so that's done now. So now in this case, what I can do is I can launch Internet Explorer. And so if I go to localhost, I should see my PHP. So it's installed now. Okay. So at this stage, I know I'm going to stop here because what we want now is just to create an immutable package. We won't install or configure this PHP or PHP install. So I close my browser, and of course, you know, I can confirm. I can see Apache's running. And I can say I'm finished installing. So at this stage, what the sequencer now does is it starts collecting all the system changes that have happened since the monitoring session began. Now during this phase, what we also do is capture all the changes. So if there are any changes to the registry, if there are any new services that were added, if there are any new to the queue drive, that virtual drive that I showed you, if there are any new files that were copied over to that location, we capture all that stuff. And once that's done, what it presents us, in a moment it'll show us a UI, which will show us all the different things it's seen, the shortcuts, and any applications that I can now launch to start configuring. Okay? So as you can see here, it noticed everything. It noticed even that I launched IE. So it's giving me an opportunity now to go and start all these different applications or shortcuts. Okay. So right now, I really don't need to run any of these, and I can either say run selected or run all. And this is a good phase because if there are specific things that you want to do to your application, even around like licensing or configuring a first run use. So you know, if someone runs an application for the first time, should it prompt you for your username or who's the first person who run this app. You can do it at this time just to clean up your package, but for this instance, we won't do that. I'll say next. And if I did make any changes, the sequencer goes through another phase of trying to collect any changes that were made to that package. Okay. So we'll give it a moment. It'll create the virtual application package in this phase. And so we're done. We have a report page, and this screen is really good because if there's specific things around your package that we know we did not capture or we excluded, we show you here. Or even any things that we may think may actually prevent you from deploying this package correctly, we show them here. In this case, there are probably some temp files that we excluded, and we exclude those because we don't want any user-specific information in a package. So now I can say close. I'm actually done creating my package. As a best practice, what I usually do is save my package now. So I'll just say save. Go to the desktop. I'll create a folder for it. We'll just just call it that. We'll go in there and I'll say save. Okay. So as I mentioned before, what we do is we do two things during the packaging process. We create an immutable application package for your application. That's your virtual application package. What we also do is we monitor specific things that your application does that we may create configuration add-ons for. In this case, what we notice is the two things, Apache and MySQL create Windows services on this machine. And so we immediately create deployment configuration add-ons for those. And this really, what it is, just to show you what it looks like, it's a simple XML file. It's a simple XML file that has configuration items. So we know that it's a MySQL, it's your MySQL service credentials. We give you a description of exactly what that is. It's a username and password under which the MySQL service is run. So if you come back to the UI, what you have are those, the two services we detected. If you go into our virtual services, if there's a list of, let's say, 10 services that your application had, they'd all be listed here just to show you that we captured all of them. And so at this stage, let's say there's a specific thing that I noticed. I said, hey, you know what? There's a port, for example, that MySQL runs under. I don't see it here. I can come and say add deployment configuration item. Let's say I search for either the number or I just search for port. I say search. And now what it does, it goes through every single thing that I talked about before. It goes through the registry. Is there anything in the registry that has that value? And also goes through any configuration files such as XML or INI and parses those files. So we have support for all those. And a really good way to actually show you is if you go into option, you'll see the locations which you can search for specific items. All right, so either registry or through the file system. Okay? And so in this case, if I wanted to add these as configuration items, I could easily just click them and say add as a configuration item. Okay. Another thing that through this UI you can do is your application, for example, may not specifically have configuration items that you want to configure when you deploy. You may have scripts, for example, that you want to add and run when you deploy your package. So under this manage scripts option, we give you two options. One is you could run a script to configure your application and that script runs inside the virtual environment. So that's an application-specific script. We give you the option here of either to point us to a script to run that could be off-box, let's say on a file share somewhere, or you could actually provide the actual commands for us to run. So you have two options there. And the two scripting options we have here are inside the virtual environment or outside the virtual environment. So if there's something on the Windows server OS that you want to configure, you have that option. And they both have the same nuances. Either you could provide us a script to run, or you could actually provide the parameters that you want us to run here. Okay. So that's it. So you have several other options there. If I wanted to make some of these items mandatory, meaning when I go through the VMM UI and I now have to deploy this package, and you mark something as mandatory, that means that the UI will prompt and say, hey, there's a specific configuration item during packaging that was mandatory. That means you have to provide that configuration item, or you have to change that specific configuration item before you deploy this package. Okay. So at this stage, once we're done with the packaging process, you can close the package and just, there are separate other tabs here that can give you different properties around your package. As you can see here, we know this is the version one of this package. We have the virtualization subsystems that we detected. So in this case, if we had IIS, you'd see that there. If there were local users and groups, let's say this application created, we'd also track all those changes, and we'd give you a really good list here of all the things we captured for this package. Okay. And of course, just to give you a really good idea, is for the file system, we show you everything that this package has on your Windows file system, and also for the registry, we can show you all the changes here that the application has. Okay, so everything is componentized into this package at this moment. Okay, so that should give you a good overview of the packaging process. Now that I'm done, I can simply just close this. Of course, now what you want to do is, this is a virtual machine. When you're done, you want to take your package, copy it up into a file share, and most people usually do is you know, either revert back to a snapshot in case they want to create a new package. Once your package is off your sequencing machine, you have the option now of testing it, let's say, in your test environment, and that's the next thing we'll do, or importing it into a virtual machine manager library for you to create a service template. Okay? So switch back. My presentation. So that should be it. So that should give you a really good idea of what the packaging process is. As you can see, the only thing really that we introduce in terms of creating a virtual application package is our workflow, which allows you to create a package, name it, make sure that your environment is ready to create a pristine, immutable application image, and then allowing you the option to, once you've created a package, to really specify the configuration items that you need when you deploy that package. So once we start talking about deployment, you'll notice that the thing for our package is we have the binaries, we have our state and configuration. Once we have that immutable application package, we know all the components for this package. And how to actually, when it comes to deployment, the value that ServIV provides is you can take that same package, deploy to two different environments, and create two different instances of the same package by only changing your application configuration. And that's the beauty of ServFE. And so in this case, this is a single tier application image that we had. I could create multiple tiers of that same application. Could be with the same configuration, or could be with different types of configurations, depending on the different environments that I'm moving this to. So if machine A was, let's say, my test environment, and it was in a specific domain that had specific, let's say, test domain users, I could provide configuration for those specific test domain users. If I was, let's say, moving to a staging or production environment, I can now just, with the same configuration file, change the context under which those services run under, and without even changing my application, deploy to a new environment, and it's up and running. So that's simple. And that's the value that ServFE targets and aims to provide. Come again. In terms of actually virtualizing SQL Server, that's something that we explicitly don't support with our V1. But we continue to try to see how we can extend the subsystems that we support in our upcoming versions. Yeah. Let's hold off questions until the end of the session because I'd like to make sure at least I don't get hung up answering questions, and I have time at the end of the session to address any of the questions that people may have. Okay. But just really as a correlation for that question is this same application could, let's say, I could say, you know what, I have a blog app, but I want you to talk to a remote SQL database, and we would still, that's a scenario that we actually do support. And in this case, we'd also, through deployment configuration, we'd actually notice that your application talked to a remote SQL database, and we'd surface those connection strings as configuration items. Okay. So now we go through a demo, same package that we created. What I'll do now is, and this is, you know, common practice, I do it myself. I quickly sequence an application, and now I'm ready to say, do I actually have a valid package? And now what we'll do is take that same application that we packaged, and we'll deploy it simply using PowerShell, okay? So I'll go back to my demo environment. I will can minimize this. I can bring this up, make this, take this full screen. Okay. So a few things I'd like to show before I actually deploy this package is a couple of things. One, the only things I've installed in this machine at the moment are the ServFE agent. So that's the agent that controls anything that happens with your virtual application package that's been deployed to a specific machine. And then our commandlets, which are also available through VMM, but what these allow you to do is do package operations like adding a package, removing a package, updating a package, and managing some state-specific operations. Okay, so those are the only things I've installed in this machine. Another thing I'd like to show is just for visibility. If I refresh it, you'll notice that there are no services specific to Apache or MySQL that we actually saw when we created that virtual application package. Okay. And of course, if I launch IE and I go to localhost, it should go to Bing, because there's really nothing running right now. Okay. So right now, what I will do is, I could do. I could do that. See if I could see. I have the ServerFE agent installed. I know the version of ServerFE, and so my modules are imported into PowerShell, and now I'm ready to actually start deploying my package. So the syntax. I'll go through the syntax of deploying my package. It's very simple. It's just add server app the package. The parameters we pass are the package name. So now you can actually just create a new instance of this deployment by giving it a specific package name, giving it the location of your manifest file, which describes the application, giving it the location of the actual package file, the immutable application image, and then giving it the location of your deployment configuration file. And now if I go into my, as you can see here, this is the package that we created, and as you can see, it has all the components that we saw here. So I'll just copy this location, Control-C, and I can go here, and I can give it the name. Let's say we call it PHPBB. We'll give it the name of the manifest. Scroll here. So that's the location of the manifest file. The SFT, which is your application image file. And if you come here, you could tell that it's the largest. It essentially has all the binaries for our package. It's around 40 megabytes. Okay. And then the last thing is our deployment configuration. And that's it. Right? And now I can hit enter, and now it starts deploying this package for us. And in a few seconds, the package will be fully deployed and available for us to start on this Windows server. Okay. And now the deployment's 100% done. If I go into my services console and I say refresh, you can see that Apache is now visible. And MySQL is also visible. Now, you'll notice they're both not started, because the only thing I've done is done the xcopy deployment, deployed my package onto this machine. Okay. So now the next thing I'll do is just start this package. And I'll say start, same thing, server app v package. And I'll give it the name. And now it'll go ahead and it'll kick off running all the virtual services for this package. Now, the beauty of this is what you can see is here is xcopy deployment to deploy the package, and then starting without any installation steps. You know, that's simple. And what we do now is anything that we captured in that package, in this case, we have services in this for this specific package. If, let's say, we had, you know, 4 or 5 IIS applications, app pools, we'd also automatically start any single component that was registered and available for this application package. So that's simple. And so now, if I go into my services, what I will notice if I refresh this is Apache is now started and running, and same thing for MySQL. And here, if I do the same thing and go to localhost and say enter, PHP is now up and running in this machine. So that's simple. So you can see from a deployment perspective, there are a lot of efficiencies that ServerFE provides. This could have been a multi-tier service, and through that, the beauty is VMM allowing you to create a service template and deploy, and they'll instantiate, and they'll do everything that I did here in the background, which is copy the package over, start it, register the services, and get all the tiers running for your application. Okay. So that's deployment using PowerShell and ServerFE. It's very easy. As you can see, it's very deterministic. I essentially could sit here and do this all day on multiple versions of Windows, and it would run in the same way. Okay? Go back to my presentation now. All right. So the next thing we'll look at now as I talk through from a deployment perspective is how Server FE works in conjunction with VMM 2012 to do the same thing I showed you, which is make deployment easy and deterministic. So VMM has a concept of services, which essentially are all the resources that are required to run an application. A service ties everything from a resource perspective in the fabric. So in VMM, this could be your hardware, this could be your storage, this could be the Windows roles and features which your service requires. It could be your SQL, could be your application, and that's where Server FE jumps in. So a service has different application types that it supports. And for Server FE, we fall into the three types of application types supported. You have web applications, which essentially are your web deploy apps that you can package using MS Deploy. You have database applications. So if you have a SQL tier, you can actually package your SQL apps, your database as a DAC pack, and you can provide that, and VMM will deploy that for you. And as we also saw, you can package your application as a Server FE package, and in VMM, it's a first-class citizen in terms of deploying that. Okay? And the starting point of creating a service is to create a template, and the template is essentially all the different things that you can now start composing to create a service. So you can pull in your VHD, which could be, you know, Windows 2008. You could specify your Windows roles and features. You could specify your server apps or your DAC packs, all that stuff, and then deploy that. And once it's deployed, it goes from being a template into a service. Stephen Barron from the VMM team will be doing a really deep dive on everything that service deployment involves. My demo and what I'll really be talking about here is specifically how Server FE fits into service template deployment in VMM. Okay? So think about when I talk about actually creating that template, there are really two things that happen. And just to reiterate this is you have your VM, which could be your hardware, your OS. So that specific image with all its properties and all its configuration added to a Server FE image, those two allow you to create a dynamically instance of your app tier. So the same thing I did with PowerShell, but what VMM does is really provide you that extra step of saying, you know what, you have all these infrastructure things that come into deploying an application. What we can do is, through VMM, allow you to compose all those things, all those properties for a service, add your application that we just packaged, and push that out into your data center. Okay? And so that's my next demo now. So what I'll do is I'll do a quick walkthrough of what it takes through VMM. We've created our package. We've tested it in our test environment. We know, oh, wow, this application now runs. Now let's import this application into VMM and go through the different steps of creating a service template and deploying that into our data center. So we'll snap over to demo environment and we'll go here. All right. So we're here. So what I would like to show you here is from the start. So if I go into VMM, what you will see here is I have a library, and a library has multiple things. If I go into let's say this library, what you will see it has different things: as VHDs, as applications, it have DAC packs. It'll have resource, what they call GCEs or custom resources that you could scripting frameworks that you use to deploy services. If I just say explore here, essentially, if you think about it this way, we sequenced our package, we created that in all those artifacts for our package. The only thing I needed to do now was copy over that file folder from my sequencing station into my VMM environment. So it was simply as an xcopy file into this library. And after it's in here, as you can see, that could be our app. That's another version of a virtual package. If you open this, you can see all the different components that the package has. And this is the same package that we deployed. Okay. So once it's available in your library, let's say you copy it, you just say refresh. It should appear as an artifact here. And if I click on that, you can see it's the same package we created. And as you can see here, it has all the different deployment configuration items that we saw when we sequenced this package or when we created the application package. And so this, from a VMM perspective, once you have your infrastructure set up for VMM 2012, what you can see is once you copy over your package into the VMM infrastructure, it's a first-class citizen. You can see all the different components that this application had. Okay? So that's our library. If we come up here, click on this hierarchy, I can now start, let's say, create a service template. So creating a service template allows you to, let's say, choose from a designer, you can choose the different tiers. We know we have a single tier machine, and I'll just call this MMS demo. I'll say it's a single tier, it's a version 1, and I'll say OK. So what this will do is it'll take us to what service template designer, and from the designer perspective, we can now go ahead and start creating a service template with all the different properties. So I can now, let's say, come down here. I could say right-click, I could say properties. Actually, cancel, I could go right here. I could say properties. And now you can see all the different things I was talking about. I could go here for my hardware configuration. I could set my memory, so let's call that 1024. I can go to my IDE devices. I could say let's add a disk. I could browse. Let's say we sort this by OS. I can come down here and I can, let's say, pick this guy, which is 2008 R2. So now I have an OS for my template. I could go here and say we want this template to be connected to the corp network. And I think I'm good with all the settings I have here. For my hardware, I could go to my OS. I could call this, let's say, PHP demo, hashtag. Those two hashtags, what allows me is every time now I deploy this service, it'll create a new machine. And let's say go from PHP demo 01, 02, 03. So in this case, if I really want to scale my service, anytime I create a new service and deploy it, it'll just incrementally create a new machine and automatically give it the same machine name but added by, let's say, 01, 02, which is a really good way to keep track of all the services that you have out there. And also allows you not to always have to remember how to name your services when you deploy them. I could give it an admin password if I want to create one during deploy. We could just give it the illustrious and hard to crack password. Call that password. I'm okay with having it a specific time zone. There are no roles and features that we need to deploy this package. If there were, you can now go ahead and actually specify them here. And what we also do during the sequencing process is, if there are any roles and features that we detect were on that Windows server, you'd see a small pop-up show up and tell you, oh, by the way, we detect this package had X roles and features installed. In this case, it's a very good way to let you know that there's some deployment dependencies for that package that you may need to attend to at this stage. Okay? So in this case, I could also say, let's domain join this machine. I could say North America, and I could also provide my credentials. Okay, and that's it. If I had any ANSI files that I wanted to be to use during deployment, I could also provide those here. Okay. So now the sweet spot that we really want to focus on today is application configuration. So here, as I mentioned before, there are three types of application profiles that VMM supports. One of them is SQL data tier apps. So if this app talked to a SQL database, I could go to my SQL database, create a DAC pack using the DAC pack framework, and once I have that DAC pack, I could just add it to my library and add it from this location. Also, if you used WebDeploy to create a WebDeploy package, you could also add that here. For us, what we want to do today is add a virtual application. So you can hit browse, you can go to our library here, and you can see we have that same app. It shows up here with all the other resources that VMM has in its library. Once I say OK, you can see it shows you all the deployment configuration items that we detected during sequencing. And so in this case, what's really nice, or what's really cool here is it gives you a very good interface to really understand the configuration items that you need to provide when you deploy this application. And remember when I said that we could mark items as mandatory or not mandatory? That actually, if you're actually deploying this application, you can now have a really good visual way to tell that I really need to provide a configuration item for this specific configuration when I deploy. And so we could also just name our application here, let's say PHP blog app. PHP blog app, okay? And that's it. So here, I have the option to go and provide new values, but in this case, we really won't change anything for this, okay? SQL Server configuration, VMM actually allows you to sysprep a SQL Server image and provide here, but we don't need that for this specific instance, all right? So once I'm done composing this, I can now just say okay. It'll bring me back to my designer. And from here, I could say save and validate. It'll go through all the different changes that I've made to my template and immediately let me know that I'm ready to go. So I can pull this down here. And this should give you a really good idea of what your template looks like. And so once you're done here, you can see it's a single chair app. It has a virtual app. That really cute orange box there shows you it's a virtual application. And you're doing a 64-bit edition of Windows Server. That's your memory. And now you can easily say, go ahead and configure my deployment. And what VMM will do is it'll go through this job process to deploy the OS, stand it up. Once the OS is actually deployed, it'll now go ahead and install Server FV for you. Install the VMM agent, install Server FV, deploy the application package, and your service will now be up and running. This actually takes a while to do, so what I will show you is what an already deployed service looks like out in the data center. So I'll just minimize this. I'll go to my services console here, and as you can see here, what we have is the same service that I deployed a while back. Same thing, single tier, it's joined to the domain, so it's running on that North America domain that I showed. It has an application here, virtual application. You can see the configuration items that it has. And if I actually connect to the console, which this is it, I could log in. Let's say connect. You can see that it's up and running. So this is the same virtual app that we deployed. If you go to Control Panel, you see that VMM actually deployed an agent. It deployed the VMM agent that monitors this machine. And also, as you can see, I just using the same PowerShell commandlets, I said, tell me which virtual application is installed in this machine. And it gives me the virtual app that's running there. And of course, what's really nice about Server FV is some of the changes that we made different from our client FV product is all these services for server apps are visible and monitorable using any monitoring solution that you use. So in this case, if it's a virtual app and you say you really don't want to monitor your virtual applications different from how you monitor your native applications, we don't change that. So if you have a way to monitor the services for your apps running in your data center, Server FV allows you to monitor them because they're exposed. We opened that part of the bubble. They're exposed and they're visible, and you could just monitor them as you'd monitor any other server app running in your data center. Okay. So as you can see here, what's actually running is this is very different from the package that we deployed in our test environment because it's been running for a while. I've even changed the name. So these are the configuration values I mentioned. We've changed the name of the blog. I've put a set of blog articles in here or in different forums. You can see I have this that I entered this on Monday. I have different forums that I created here on this blog app. And this, what really this will aim to show is, you know, how do you have a virtual application that's been running for months, let's say 3 or 4 months out there, and let's say now you have a new version of Windows Server that's out there, patched, and your IT organization wants, let's say, to patch all the Windows servers running out in your data center. How do you take something that's running on Windows Server 2008, let's say, R2 to Windows Server 2008 R2 SP1. So that'll be the next thing we look at. So I hope that gave you a really good idea of what it takes to create a service template. As you can see, from a VMM perspective, it's very easy. The only really good thing you can see with using VMM is it allows you to go beyond just testing your application using PowerShell, as we showed you, to really creating a really robust way of creating a service, all the different things that it takes to deploy a server app out there, which are more than just applications. Could be your OS and all the memory and storage requirements, and how you can actually build and integrate Server FB into that and deploy it out in your data center. Okay? All right. So with that done, I'll go back to my presentation. So we went through the whole process of creating a service template, and that's the first phase of deploying a service using VMM 2012. But just like any other thing, there really is a life cycle when it comes to deploying a service out in your data center and how the different things that happen after that. You may have to, let's say, go through the process of updating your service template, which could be different things. Let's say now we deploy that in our pre-production cloud, but we want to take it through the same VMM console and deploy that to our production cloud. And as we talked about before, the only things you potentially would want to change there is not your application, but the configuration that application requires to run in the new environment. Other things that we may want to change that I mentioned before were, let's say your application hasn't changed, your configuration hasn't changed. What really is changing is your underlying OS. So it's Patch Tuesday. Every month, you patch your Windows servers, but you want to deploy a new version of your Windows Server. You know, how long does that take for you to, let's say, reinstall your application today? What we will show you is through Server FB how you can actually take to the service template, point to a new instance of that service template, that the only thing is that has changed is your Windows OS. Let's say you've gone from R2 to R2 SP1. And take your same application with the running changes and deploy that to a new version of the OS. And then the last thing, of course, is how that happens in the case of applying those changes to a service instance that are actually running already out in your data center. Okay? So the last thing we look at today is state management. And state management here in the sense of how do we take all the changes that an application goes through once it's deployed, that's the running part, or the runtime aspect, and take those changes, capture them, and allow you to still, to be because we're state separated, take those changes and deploy those to a new service that has your application and a new version of the OS. So here is a really good example if you're to look at this and see how state separation allows for application portability. So we have machine A, which let's say has the same application, the same version of Windows OS, but the only thing that's changed is the state. And what VMM does and what Server FB allows you is because the state is separated from your application and it's also separated from your operating system, we can actually back that state from your machine up, let's say, into what VMM does is attaches a virtual disk, or I'll show you through PowerShell how it's very simple just to create state and move it from one machine to another machine and deploy that. Okay, so we'll back up the state, and in this case, take that same state, move it to another machine, new version of the OS, same application, but the state that was running in another machine, on your original machine A. Okay, and through a restore state operation, what we'll show you is you could take that same application package, your configuration hasn't changed, the only thing that has changed, and in this case, are all those entries that I made into the forum, could be different, could be also file system changes that I made, and those will simply just traverse over to your new machine. Okay? So we'll go into my next demo. which will show us app portability. So as I showed you before, we're connected to this machine. This machine, you know, has been running for a couple of months. It's the same package that we deployed using PowerShell, or the same application that we deployed using PowerShell. What's happened with this app is we've had a bunch of changes. We've talked to our business users. We've named it. We've added blog entries. We've configured different things, how different users will be able to deal with the forum. But the thing that now that has changed is we need to be able to take this service and update it to Windows 2008 R2 SP1. Okay. So what I will show you today here is how simple it is through VMM to change, to create a new service template that has the new version of the OS. And after doing that, how I can easily take that service template, let's say from V1, and say I want to go from V1 of my service template to V2 of my service template. And the only change that I have is my OS or my virtual hard disk that has changed. Okay. So we'll go here. And now one of the best ways to actually show this is I'll close this. Don't save those changes. I'll go back into my library. We'll go into my pre-production library. We'll go into service templates. What I will show you here is I have two versions, same service template that we have running out there, PHBBB, that's this guy. It's out there. I'm sorry, that's it's this guy here. It's been running out there. It's been deployed. You can see that it's running. What I did do is simply write this. If I say copy, it'll create a same service template. It'll just create a copy of that, which is what I did, and I named that version 2. So if we actually go into this guy and say open designer, what you'll see that it's the same application, same number of tiers. It's one tier, it's connected to Corp, exactly the same thing, same package. The only thing, if we right click and go into properties, that you'll see is if I go into my hardware configuration, what you will notice is it's pointing to a different version of a VHD. So in this case, 2008 R2 SP1. If I go into our original template, I'll say open in designer. Go into properties. This, of course, points to just 2008 R2 Enterprise Edition. So the only thing that I've really changed here is the version of the OS that I'm running under. The really cool thing that I want to highlight here is, as I mentioned before, we've deployed this. We have a set of changes. They're out there. They're running. And so the simple way to actually do this is to right-click this. Actually, what we'll do is we'll go into our VMs and services. That's the way to do it. I'll right-click this. I'll say Set Template, right? And now we have the options here to how do I actually update this service? And we have two ways to do it. I could modify application settings. So in this case, if nothing's changing, my OS isn't changing, the only thing that I'm changing is my configuration for my application, I'd pick that option. But what we're doing now is we're actually replacing that current template. We're going from version 1 to version 2 of that template, new OS. So I'll say replace the current template with an updated template for this service. I'll click on Browse. I'll select version 2, that template, and we reviewed it. That only has the new version of the OS. I'll say OK. I'll say Next. What VMM does there now is it actually parses the version 2 of the template and says what's changed in terms of application settings. Now, let's say if I'd gone to version 2 of the template and I'd configure that to say, hey, we're going from test, we're going to production. In test, we just have, this it runs as local system, but now in production, we're going to have a domain, let's say a domain group to manage those services. Those changes would have showed up here. But, of course, there's nothing that we're changing from a configuration perspective. If I say Next, it'll tell me, specify how to apply the updated service template. So what I could do is two things. If I was only changing my configuration, I don't want to go through the elongated process of deploying a new service template and deploying an updated OS. I'd just say, go ahead and apply the changes. What VMM would do is it'd say, I have a new XML file, that deployment configuration file. It's an XML file. It would just push an updated XML file out to that deployed service instance. In this case, what we really do know is we need a new service out there because we have a new version of Windows that we want to deploy to. So in this case, what I would say is that I'd select the option to deploy a new virtual machine with updated settings. So I'll select that, and I'll hit Next. And what it does the same thing. It goes through the service templates and does a check to see what's actually changing. So if you look at this here, if I just was to expand so you could see the changes. So as you can see, what it's doing is what we call image-based servicing. So it knows it's creating a new image of Windows OS out there. And on top of that, what VMM also knows that it's doing is it says, if that version of V1 of that service template exists, I also know that I need to capture all the application changes, all the virtual application changes that exist, and move those over to my new service template. So if you look at this, it'll tell you exactly what's happening is you're going from your current value is 2008 R2 Enterprise, and you're going to 2008 R2 SB1. Okay? And of course, it just gives me a warning saying you have a single tier. If you're going to do this service operation, it'll have to shut down that single tier as we bring up the new tier. So it's just a warning telling you that there might be an availability because of the number of instances and the tier topology for this service. Okay. What you could also say is, and because of that, you have two options. You could say, hey, you know what? We're actually going to do this operation, let's say, at midnight when no one's using our service. Or you could say, hey, there's no one using this service now, and I'm going to apply the updates immediately once this wizard completes. All right? So, you know, we could check that. We could say next. And now what it'll go ahead is do our service changes. Okay? What I really want to show you now is really in the background what happens. And I'll do that using PowerShell. So what we can do now is I'll just cancel out of this. I'll say yes. We'll go to this tour VM. And remember what I showed you in control panel. I've installed the ServerFE agent, and it also has our PowerShell commandlets installed. And through PowerShell, if you look here, you'll see we queried. We know that the PHP exists. And what now I'll do is I'll back up all those state changes. If you go into computer, you'll see under C, I've created a folder called package state where I want to back up my changes. And what I'll do here is I'll just say, give it the name of my package. And then last thing I do is I'll give it the name of the location where I want it to back up the state. So now it'll go ahead. It'll go through all the changes that we've been tracking using the ServerFE agent for that specific virtual application. It'll collate them, and it'll put them into this specific location, C package state. So that should happen in a few seconds. And once that's done, what we can do now is just take that, what we will do actually, is take that that package state, move it to a new machine, the original the original package that we deployed using PowerShell, and apply those changes to that machine, okay? And that really will give you a good idea of what happens in the background when we do an image-based servicing or in this case, updating OS. So now our package state is there. We know it's available. If you go to this location, you'll see it's in there. And it has all the changes. If you actually browse this, you can see it, it'll have all the file system changes, all the things we detected specific to that specific virtual app, okay? So now what I will do is I'll minimize this. I'll just log into this machine. Let's say okay. All right, so this is up. And so what you can see is, it's still showing me my administrative control panel. It's not customized in any way. I can refresh this, and you can see it'll bring me up to the same thing. So we'll go back into PowerShell. If I go here into computer, I had the same state, so that's there. So I'll just, I'll just copy this. I'll go here, and I'll say restore. We'll give it the name of the package, or the name of the app. And I'll give it the location of where to look for the package state. Okay? So I'll hit enter. And now what it'll do, it'll say, same package. What I do know now is I have new package state. Let me see all those changes from my other machine that was that have been made, and I'm going to apply them on this virtual environment. And so there we go. So our state has been moved from one machine to another machine. It's ready and available. And what it'll do again is I'll just start the virtual environment again for this package. And VMM does all this for you in the background. So once we hit that finish button, VMM will attach a disk to that service template that's already deployed. It'll back up that state. It'll bring up a new service, attach that same virtual disk, copy the state over, deploy your new application package, restore your state, and stand up the service for you. But this is a really good way for you to see in the background what VMM does. And it's also really good because if you do want to test your application state before you actually make a production change, you can actually just do this in your test environment using PowerShell, and you can actually say, hey, you know, our app runs the way it's supposed to run before you actually move and do it through VMM. So I can go here, and I can say localhost. Now what you will see is we have the app up and running. So automatically what we do is we took that state, we put it here, and your app is up and running. Now this is quite compelling, especially if, let's say, you need to move from a disaster recovery perspective, even if it's just the same OS, but you need to move your app from one machine to another machine. Also, let's say you have a much beefier VM or a different change of environment in terms of resources, you can still do the same thing. And this is, you know, what we do when we do talk to customers. A lot of customers do say that this is valuable because one is application portability is just crucial. You know, we have environments that, let's say, we have to kill and bring up new environments. We have beefier hosts for our virtual machines. This really allows them to, you know, move the applications around. We also have some customers we talked to who said, hey, you know, we have our applications that work on Windows Server 2003. We'd like them to work on Windows to Server 2008. You know, that's a jump in terms of different versions of OS. Now, if your package can work on Windows Server 2003, you can simply deploy it there, and you know, a year, 2 years, 3 years from now, if you want to move from, let's say, 2008 to 2008 R2 or Windows Server 2012, this is a very compelling way to actually get the confidence that state can easily be moved from one machine to another machine with this ease, okay? So that's it. That should cover app portability and how ServerFE enables that. All right. So that should be it. So the last thing we look at today is supported applications. I'm sure, you know, just by looking at this, you know, one of the big questions you have is, what are the type of applications in your organizations that are good candidates for ServerFE? Of course, there's an infinite set of applications that are out there. Most of the customers we talk to, we say, hey, could you guys share how many apps you have? We get sometimes thousands, Excel spreadsheets with, you know, thousands of apps or hundreds of apps. But what we do like really to reference is the types of things that we do support for applications. So, you know, when you look at this and you say, you know, does my app have, you know, make changes to IIS? Does it have Windows services? Does it have, let's say, COM, DCOM components? Does it, let's say, add local users and groups? We track and we manage all those things for virtual apps. But we also, as you can see in the other column, anything that the desktop FV product supports, we automatically inherited that support. What we did do is added all these additional subsystems that are specific to Windows Server applications. Okay. And just for resources, in terms of WMI providers, we don't virtualize WMI itself, but if your application does have its own WMI provider, that's something that we actually can capture and deploy for you. Okay? And as we looked at any registry file system changes, those are also things that we virtualize and are able to create for your package. So this is really where we need to talk about things that we don't support. One thing right now that we don't support with our V1 is multi-tenancy. What we do support is multi-tenancy for web apps. So you could package and deploy as many web apps as you want on and stack them, in terms of density on your Windows server. But we really don't allow anything beyond that. We haven't tested anything beyond that. And really, when we talk to customers and we say, would you actually want to run different types of applications on one Windows server today? What most customers tell us is, we really don't do that for security reasons, for example, and servicing. One application, if it needs to be serviced, that may mean that a whole VM is unavailable, and that really isn't conducive right now. The specific applications that we really would like to call out that we don't support, and those are SQL Server, SharePoint, and Exchange. These are applications that we continually still try to look at, see if there are specific scenarios that Server FE can actually fit into in conjunction with the product group. So if there are any changes to this, hopefully within the SB1 or post-SB1 timeframe, we can actually start sharing that information. But as of now, we have no support for these apps. Most of you who are familiar with our client AppV product know that there actually is a server infrastructure for that, which you can go in, you can provision applications through Active Directory. You could set up groups and say these applications can be provisioned to specific Active Directory groups. We don't do that with Server FE. And as you saw, our integration is through Virtual Machine Manager. VMM will allow you to configure your application and provision that application out into your data center. Okay. We do have a blog site that we're really trying to update. So if you have any questions, we have some really good technical write-ups there that you can go and read in terms of how do we actually do isolation, state separation, some of the changes that we've added. That's a very good resource for you to go to look at. And as we continue going forward, we will start posting a lot of information around how we do virtualization and also application recipes that may be useful for specific types of, let's say, Microsoft apps. What we also do have there today are already application recipes that you could use today. You could go and say, hey, what's my first test app that I could use to package using Server FE? We have videos and step-by-step directions that you can find there. As I mentioned, Stephen Barron, he's my colleague on the VMM team. Now, he'll be doing our end-to-end expose on how to actually go through service creation and deployment. And that is today, actually, later on at 4 o'clock. And I highly recommend that session if you want to get a really good idea of what service templates actually has in addition to what I just covered today for Server FE. We also have sessions on, for those of you who are interested in AppV, the next version of AppV 5.0, there are a lot of architectural changes and investments that the team has made. And Asim Kohli, who's sitting here, will be doing a session around 2 o'clock today to cover those. And I highly recommend that also. So that should be it. So please make sure to complete your session evaluation. If you have any feedback, also from a product perspective, we really pay a lot of attention to that. So we'd really welcome any feedback that you have for that. Thank you very much.